This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by AMD, a semiconductor design innovator leading the next era of vivid digital experiences with its groundbreaking AMD Fusion Accelerated Processing Units. AMD's graphics and computing technologies power a variety of devices, including PCs, game consoles, and supercomputers in the world's largest and most prestigious national labs, research institutions, and private enterprises. For more information, visit www.amd.com/HPC.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
This IBM supercomputer will make TV game show history.
What is Watson?
That's right. Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for February 11th, 2011, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
What is good morning, Michael?
What is good morning? Yeah. As you can tell from our intro there, we're kind of focused on the Jeopardy-IBM Watson matchup that's going to occur next week. It's been a big story in the news. I've been following it. A lot of publications have been following it. It's going to be quite a spectacle.
Yeah, Monday's Valentine's Day, and I'm dying to hear those three little words. This is Jeopardy!
Yeah. The geeks will be out in force, and I think this is a general interest for a lot of people who are finished their Valentine's Day festivities. It's going to be on Monday and then Tuesday and Wednesday as well. It'll be a three-game series.
Right. So we've got a three-game series teed up. This is something we previewed a while back, Michael, when it was first announced months and months ago, and it's finally come around. The IBM has a specially designed supercomputer named Watson that's going to go on Jeopardy in a special three-game series against two of the most renowned previous Jeopardy champions, right?
Right. Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, the two of the most probably accomplished Jeopardy players. One of them's undefeated. The other one, I think, has the highest money total.
And so Ken Jennings was the guy, I think, after they changed the rules that you can't go on more than five times, he let you just keep going. He was on for like a month and a half or something.
Right. So these guys are the cream of the crop. So it's not just Watson against some average Jeopardy players. These are the best of the best. And this has been going on for a while, even though we talked about it, I think, a few months ago when the news started to really percolate. The Watson project has been going on since 2007.
Yep.
They've been developing the software, all the algorithms that go into making this machine intelligent enough to answer Jeopardy clues. They're not questions. You form the answers are questions. The clues are just the clues in a statement form. And it's a tough thing for a computer to do. They're not built to do that type of calculation. So since 2007, the engineers at IBM and they've had the collaboration of several universities have been developing this sort of artificial intelligence software, and slowly the machine has gotten better.
Let's be clear. This is an amazing challenge, right? This isn't like playing some other kind of game like checkers or chess where the moves are that prescribed. This is parsing of natural language, and Jeopardy is renowned for having fairly convoluted answers that you're trying to come up with the questions to. And no one is, as far as I know, inputting these into the computer ahead of time. The computer is processing them just like in real time, just like the human contestants are, right? There's no unfair advantage.
Right. The actual text of the clue is sent to the computer in text form at the point where the humans can read it. But and like you said, it's the clues are somewhat obscure sometimes. There's puns in them, there's humor, So it's not just a matter of natural language processing. It actually has to interpret sort of these hidden meanings behind some of these clues. It's quite difficult. It's even difficult for people sometimes to figure out what the clue's about.
What is it I'm meant to be answering here? And yeah, you're right. The humans get thrown off by that a lot of the time.
So it's quite challenging, but they've developed this very sophisticated natural language set of algorithms, as well as analytics algorithms. There's knowledge base. There's a whole set of algorithms in there and tools that the IBM Watson machine uses to correlate the clues with the answers. It's not just looking it up in a database. It's correlating it with encyclopedias, thesauruses, dictionaries, books, all sorts of different...
Everything it can have loaded in.
Right.
Because to be clear, on another point, it's not connected to the internet at the time. It's not running a Google search or something live.
No, and that wouldn't really do it much good. To do a Google search, you still have to go in and dig and find out which answer you need. So, right, it's not a search engine like that. It needs to find...
Are you saying you prefer Bing or Yahoo or something?
not even that. Those are... those you'd have to actually do, a lot more processing to get the answers out of. But this is... It doesn't go and just find the answer. It doesn't look up the question in a database and just find an index and spit it out. It actually...
Right.
Correlates the information, forms hypothesis, and then projects confidence levels into its answers. So it'll come up with right. five answers with different confidence levels. And if it's over like about 50%, it'll buzz in.
Right. So you made a lot of points there that we need to go over if we can. First of all, this is a lot of not only a lot of data, but it's a lot of unstructured data. It's not right. like it's a database format where, if you knew all the questions were just going to be state capitals and it's, what's the capital of Pennsylvania, you could look it up in a database and you'd know where to go. But when it's this kind of unstructured data, it's really going point to point associations and a lot of different things in order to come up with an answer that it has some kind of confidence in.
Right, exactly. And you couldn't do the former. You couldn't make a big database of all the questions because there's too many combinations of
right.
of clues and data. It wouldn't be feasible to do that. So you have to do it like a human would basically do it is tap into your memory and associate the clues with a wide variety of basically unstructured data and form the answer that way. So, yeah, it's sort of an amazing feat. And if people have watched some of the videos of some of the practice rounds, it's kind of amazing that a computer can do this within just a few seconds to sort of process the language, look up all this data, make the correlations, and spit out an answer in 3 seconds.
Yeah, I've looked at a lot of the documentation, the demonstrations that are out there right now. It's very impressive. It is not completely bulletproof. They've given examples of where even when Watson has a high degree of confidence in an answer, it gets beat to the buzzer by a human who also is confident.
Right.
There's a reaction time on how quickly you can buzz in, just like there is for the human contestants. And I think when the buzzer opens depends on when Alex Trebek finishes reading the clue. So it's a little tough to predict exactly when you can buzz in for the first time.
Right.
And they've built a complete Jeopardy set in IBM's labs for these practice matches, and they brought in all kinds of people to do the practice rounds, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think they've run dozens of rounds with different Jeopardy contestants, including Jennings and Rutter, the people they're going to two fellows are going to go against. But Watson's done pretty well. I think IBM has said they've won about 65% of those practice matches. And when it went up against Jennings and Rutter in a short session, Watson narrowly beat it in those 15 questions. So. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's ready for prime time.
It's ready to give it a shot. And I'm certainly going to either watch it right when it's on or at least set it up to record so I can take a look at them. We should talk a little bit about some of the technology behind Watson, but maybe we'll do that after we take a quick break from our sponsor.
AMD Opteron processors and GPU technology have historically powered supercomputers in the world's largest and most prestigious national labs, research institutions, and private enterprises. The AMD Opteron processor gives customers the best price per performance per watt. Customers get 12 cores at 6 cores power envelope, making AMD's 4P servers more affordable to the mainstream. AMD's innovative server solutions can help customers meet real-world workload needs, including business infrastructure, collaboration web and cloud computing, virtualization and databases. Visit www.amd.com/HPC to learn how AMD is taking HPC to new heights.
So, Michael, we're still talking about Watson, and it's not like this is the most powerful supercomputer in the world by the FLOP standards, the top 500 standards that we normally look at, right?
No, not at all. I mean, the power, it's based on a Power 7 chip. That's this Power 750 servers that make up Watson. There's 90 servers, and each server has 4 Power 7 chips, and those are powerful chips. I mean, there's
right. 200. It's not like it's a slouch. It's something right. like a 75 teraflop machine or something like that.
Yeah, 75 teraflops. We don't care so much about the flops in this case. There's probably not a lot of floating point going on, but the integer flops are probably on the same level. But it's not a huge machine like we would see at the top of the top 500 list. It's not petaflops or anything like that, or petaops even.
Right.
But it's got high bandwidth. The Power 7 chips themselves are capable of like 500 gigabytes per second of aggregate bandwidth, which is very good for doing the types of things that Watson needs to do, which is manipulate data very quickly from cache and memory into the chip and then back out again. But
now, we'll keep talking about Watson, but it's not like IBM was without any petaflop or multi-petaflop news this week either. We should mention also that Argonne ordered a 10 petaflop BlueJean Q supercomputer, right?
Right, in the more traditional HPC space, right? I mean, IBM had that other news. It's all by IBM this week. They announced that Argonne would be buying this 10 petaflop system that's going to be installed in 2012 at Argonne National Lab, and they're calling it Mira. It's obviously a very big system. That's a BlueJean Q system, so it's not the same architecture as this Power 7 based system in Watson, but it's a much bigger system. Obviously, it's 10 petaflops. It's half the size of the Sequoia system that's going to go into Lawrence Livermore in 2012, but still, it's going to be a top 10 system coming up, and it's going to be quite a thing.
I'm not surprised to see, you know, an all IBM kind of thing. IBM has been a persistent leader in HPC and all throughout all different product categories. They've got standard architectures, they've got custom architectures, they've got supercomputers, they've got entry level, they've got data management stuff, they've got computation stuff. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see a lot of this snowballing into what might be a series of big announcements coming out from IBM this year. It's also their 100th birthday this year.
Right.
Not a lot of computer companies can claim to be 100 years old.
right. 1911, they started out International Business Machines. They weren't computers per se, but yeah, that's an amazing feat unto itself. Yeah, big week for IBM, and like you said, they've been a dominant player in HPC for a while. This thing with Watson and even the Argonne thing, this is, I think, where IBM wants to be with their HPC strategy. They want to be sort
totally.
Of the top of the food chain. I mean, the Watson thing is going to be a great PR spectacle, but they want to move this technology into the commercial realm.
Yeah, this is the point with Watson, is it's not just a PR stunt. It's part of their whole Smarter Planet initiative, which is company-wide. And IBM is very clear on the fact that they think this is relevant technology for business in terms of artificial intelligence for things like next-generation call centers, where computers have to interpret what people are saying to them and either take actions or route calls appropriately based on natural language interpretation.
Exactly. For help desk, this is great. I mean, they're also talking about even higher level applications like medical diagnostics. They're talking about financial analytics. Now, these things aren't going to replace, you know, your financial portfolio manager or anything at this point. But given that tool, it's going to make that person a lot more powerful. It's going to be able to do a lot more triage and get a lot more information. It's not at the level where it can replace a human at that level, but It's going to be a nice amplifier for those types of high-level applications that really do need this sort of sophisticated intelligence where you need to correlate a lot of data from a lot of different sources. It's perfect for that kind of thing, and it's a perfect business for IBM. It's a high-margin business. This is right in their wheelhouse.
Is Jeopardy paying a lot for the Watson supercomputer to be on there?
I have no idea what the financial arrangement is. I mean, think about it. I mean, I thought about this. If Watson beats the challengers, the human challengers here, I think it's sort of going to ruin the show like it did for chess when Deep
Blue. Oh, yeah, because no one plays chess anymore.
Yeah, no one really follows it anymore as sort of a human-to-human thing because computers can beat it. I mean, I don't know if the Jeopardy people have like thought this out, but if they get beat,
I think this is a huge PR campaign for Jeopardy also. And, you know, I think it's got a lot of interest around it. This is even bigger than when Jennings was on his winning streak and, you know, Jeopardy was in the news that they had this unbeatable human. Now he's going to go against the computer. But to your point about medical diagnostics and call centers and all kinds of ways in which, you know, the average human now gets to interact with this computer technology, what better way to build up confidence among the general populace that the computer can do something like this than to put it on Jeopardy and say, here's how smart we can be?
Yeah, it is a great marketing spectacle there for a lot of different people, and it's going to work at a lot of different levels if they do well, if it doesn't embarrass itself. But
well, let's come to that, Michael. I mean, you know, we're HPC experts, right? And we're not unfamiliar with the technology. You know, at least as well informed as anybody else might be. You know, what's your prediction here? You got a 3-game series against the humans. How does Watson do?
Well, I'm gonna go with the numbers. I mean, IBM's saying they're like a 65% rate. They beat the two champs in a practice round. I'm gonna go with Watson. I think it's going to prevail in this contest.
I think it's really, really close. You know, they're talking about they won 60% of their warm-up matches. I say it comes down to final Jeopardies, and I'm going to give it to Jennings, 2-1.
Okay. Good pick. Yeah, I mean, anything can happen, especially those final Jeopardy answers where you can basically bet the house. It becomes basically gambling at that point. So humans sort of might have a natural edge there and being able to gamble a little more intelligently than maybe a computer. So, yeah, it could come down to those final Jeopardy answers, and then it's a toss-up.
Yeah, you really don't know, and you know, you get down to betting everything on those final answers, and you know, that's also a different challenge for Watson, because on all of the other questions leading up to Final Jeopardy, it's got some kind of confidence threshold that it has to get over, which varies depending on the state of the game and other things. But, you know, I've got to be at least 60% confident to buzz in. Final Jeopardy, you've already made your bets, and it's going to ask a question that everyone's going to answer. If its best answer is only 10% confident or 15% confident, it's going with it.
Right, and it knows that. It's going to bet accordingly. And it adjusts itself, too. It's actually learning during the match. So if it knows the category mm-hmm. from beforehand, it'll bet accordingly. So all those smarts are built in, and it's all built into the machine intelligence behind the machine. So in a way, it knows how to gamble, too, just not maybe with the same panache as a human might, but it'll put its best bet forward there.
Well, and experience counts here too. I mean, Jeopardy with Jennings and Rutter in there, they've played this game before, which is why IBM had to get in all these practice matches. I don't think fatigue will come into it like it did with the chess tournament. It's only a half hour show, but
right.
You know, the humans can get tired faster than the computer can. That I guess it could enter into it.
Yeah, maybe by the third show, if those guys haven't been sleeping well at night, then the computer has an edge because it doesn't care about that. It just needs the juice.
Well, we'll do a Final Jeopardy of our own. The category for Final Jeopardy will be humans versus computers, and we'll come back and do our Final Jeopardy after our next break.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Advanced Micro Devices, an innovative technology company dedicated to collaborating with customers and technology partners to ignite the next generation of computing and graphic solutions at work, home, and play. For more information, visit www.amd.com/HPC.
Okay, Michael, our category for Final Jeopardy is humans versus computers. We're going to go to Deep Blue. I'm not Alex Trebek, so I'm going to ask the question in the form of a question and just let you answer it. February 1996, Deep Blue takes on Kasparov, the world reigning chess champion. The question is, what was the result of that six-game match?
The original chess match with Deep Blue, Kasparov won the whole match. I don't know what the set was, but Deep Blue lost in 96.
That's right. In 1996, Deep Blue won the first game out of the six-game series, took a 1-0 lead, but Kasparov won three of the next five games with two draws, took the match 4-2. Deep Blue then had an upgrade after that, came back in 1997 and narrowly won that one 3.5-2.5 by taking the last game. It was 2.5 all after five, and Deep Blue won the decisive sixth game.
Yeah, I remember that. That was amazing. And everybody forgets that it lost the first – or a lot of people forget that it lost the first set of games in 96, but it finally came back and beat it. And I think Kasparov wanted a rematch, but IBM actually dismantled Deep Blue and refused to play them again. So that was sort of an interesting little soap opera going on there. So we'll see what happens with – Watson, I have a feeling if it loses this time around, it'll come back and challenge again until it does win.
Well, we've placed our bets, and next week I hope we'll be able to just at least briefly revisit this story. But I'm going to watch Jeopardy this week and see what happens, and I hope other people will too, because we talk about Deep Blue in all kinds of contexts as this iconic moment for supercomputing, and to me this is another one of those such moments on just as large, maybe even a larger scale.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this has a lot of interest for our community and beyond it. So it sort of brings the whole public into our community for at least just a few days. So it'll be interesting to watch that and see what the reaction is.
All right. Well, let's tune in and watch, and I'll try to remember that it's Valentine's Day also on Monday.
Yes.
This is Jeopardy. Here we go.
Here we go. All right. We'll talk to you next week, Addison.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.